Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, along with co-host Desmond Bennett, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we have an interesting talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Dave D'Arazio, and then lastly, some great walleye tips from Fishing Guide Jeff Evans. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris off-road vehicle at Hayward Power Sports. During the spring sales event, rebates go as high as $1,500 and financing is as low as 3.99%. Live your life wide open in a high-performance RZR. Tackle anything from mountains to mud holes on a legendary Sportsman ATV. Get more done with a hard-working Ranger. Or take on any task or trail in a versatile Polaris General. Whatever you're looking for, now's the time to take your pick from Off-Road's best-selling lineup. Visit us 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com for rebates up to $1,500 and financing as low as 3.99% APR for 36 months during the Polaris Spring Sales Event.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 4/30/19 on new 2015 through 2019 vehicles. Subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride. See Hayward Power Sports just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I've got co-host Desmond Bennett in here, and guess who's back? We got Mr. Bob Schuster. Morning, Bob.
Morning, John. Morning, Desmond.
Morning, Desmond.
Good morning, folks.
You know, as we're airing this thing, we're only a few days away from the fishing season, basically. We're coming up to the fishing season on the third.
Blink, and it's here.
Yeah, you know, and I'm hoping we're recording this a week ahead of time. I'm hoping by the time this gets there, there'd be some open water, and at least on some of the lakes.
Yeah, we've got open water out the back door. Lake Hayward is, for the most part, open.
Yeah, and I've heard there's some places open up on the big lake, starting to open up in Lake Superior. I know Moose Lake out there by me, everything above the bridge and the river is wide open, and it's starting to open up in the lake. It's going to open fast, I think. There's not as much ice out there as people think.
Yeah, it's going away. Yeah.
You know, and talking about anything else fishing, have you heard anything at all? The guys getting up the river, river steelheading or anything?
I have. I had a few guys in for that. They were actually, the one guy was buying hardware, and the other two gents were fishing fly rod. And it sounds like they've been catching a few. I know some guys that are heading down south to Green Bay to fish walleye, and I'm sure the Wolf will have some traffic on it as well.
You know, by the time we're airing there's going to be people trolling, I think, on the big lake up there. Duke's, there's going to be some areas open, especially up around Bayfield and up there.
Yeah.
You know, talking about other things, the turkey season going on, I don't know how many turkeys we got out there. I'm starting to see a few birds around now. I think we definitely lost some birds, so we're going to have to wait till the dust settles on that to hear how people did as far as success, I think.
Yeah, I had a story on that as well this morning. Dale from up in the Cable Drummond area, he's got a number of birds on his property he's seen. So, and I'm sure you're going to have pockets where, for whatever reason, you had some, you know, more winter kill than others.
Yeah, you know, they don't do very well in deep snow. I mean, neither do I, really. I think you have a problem, Desmond.
Who knows? I have a friend who has a cabin up here. He came up hoping to tag out this weekend, and now it's by noon on Friday, he was looking for something else to do. He'd already got a bird. So
he got his bird, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not as bad as we're all thinking.
Yeah. Well, I know you were talking about going after one with a crossbow with that, you know, that new crossbow you got last year, but you've been too busy doing lawyer stuff, right?
Pesky work got in the way, yep.
Well, Bob, I know you guys are kind of up to your armpits here trying to get stuff ready for the season, too.
Yeah, we are, and lots of new products showing up. We've expanded plastics and rods and pretty much a whole gamut, even electronics. Now we have the, of course, we had the Garmin Panoptics. Now we have the LiveScope to go with the Panoptic.
Then you also have the Hummingbird electronics with the Hummingbird Mega Plus side imaging from the new Helixes. I think I'll get more detail on the bottom, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm not necessarily looking for fish all the time, as I am looking for the structure in the bottom. So it all does different things, I think.
Absolutely, John. And when you talk about the Helix family or the Hummingbird, they make a great product. And as you all know, you run it, and I don't think fish stand a chance with those either.
Well, you got to learn how to use this stuff. Yep. You got a pretty good staff in here, guys and guides that work here that can help people out, show them how to use it. I know one of our other sponsors out there, Hayward Power Sports, they know how to use it. I actually do a lot of this teaching myself, too, on it. So, you know, if anybody's got questions on the equipment, there's plenty of good information right here, not to mention the fact that you can go on YouTube and find all kinds of information there, too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, as far as, getting ready for the season, guys, rods, reels, that stuff, you guys also provide a service on that here, too, don't you?
We do. We send them off to get clean and greased. You can wind your new line on, put a new tip on your rod if you got a broken tip. I suggest also in the boat area, pull the boat out, check the batteries, check the bilge pumps, check aerators
and wheel bearings.
Wheel bearings too.
Yep. You know, that's one big thing I've talked about.
We all probably missed because
everybody got greasers. If I got bearing buddies, I don't need to do anything. That's wrong because every 2 years I'll pull the bearings completely off. I got a new boat that's 2 years old. Before it hits the water this year, I got to pull those wheel bearings off and look at them because that expansion and contraction going down the road, everything heats up. You back it in the cooler water, it contracts. If the seal leaks at all, it'll suck in a couple drops of water. It don't take much to start to pit a bearing. And when you do have a wheel bearing failure, if you've never had one on a boat trailer, usually it destroys the axle. You don't even know it's going until it's way too late.
Yeah, for sure. So it's going to end up costing you more money.
Well, Bob, I know you guys got a lot of interesting things going on here, and I think that there's going to be more and more guys going out as we get closer to the season. Let's hope we get open water on some of the lakes, get out and do a little pre-season pan fishing.
Yeah, absolutely, and scouting for other species as well.
You bet. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming in here and spending some time with us.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Desmond.
You bet. And we're going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors, and we come back. I've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Dave D'Orazio, who's part-time retired now after a lot of years out there on the lake. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Can-Am Spring Fever event is on now at Hayward Power Sports with the Can-Am family of off-road vehicles that are built for this. They're built for seeing the sunrise and for days lasting past sunset. They're built for trails, tasks, and tough times. And they're built to move you through what won't move. So how do you become built for this? By getting to the Spring Fever event at Hayward Power Sports and finding a brand new Can-Am off-road vehicle with a $2,000 rebate on select 2018 models for a limited time.
Certain restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See Hayward Power Sports for program details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.fishingguide.com. WISCNorthlandOutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Desmond Bennett. Desmond, you know, some of us guides are getting older, and Dave D'Orazio grew up on the Chippewa Flowage. His dad had a resort. He grew up out here and guided for a lot of years, and now he's kind of trying to slow down a little bit. But a lot of interesting information from some of these guys that have been up here all their lifetime.
Absolutely. You can't replace that kind of experience.
You know, and it's interesting stuff, too. Let's hear what Dave had to say about growing up on the Chippewa Flowage and guiding and how he got started, and lots of good information. Today we're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Dave D'Orazio. And Dave, good morning here.
How you doing this morning, John?
You know, we're talking about fishing out there. You've been guiding for, how many years do you guide on the Flowage out there in the Hayward area?
Well, I started when I was a teenager at my folks' resort, so I was about 15, 16 years old. So you're talking mid-60s.
Yeah, and well, now you're kind of semi-retired now, and you're just kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I fish with a lot of the same clients that I fished with for years, which is kind of nice. And just don't do the hours like we used to do.
How did you ever get started fishing? Now, your parents had a resort on the Chippewa Flowage, right?
There wasn't anything else to do. I remember as a kid growing up, we had a TV, but we had no TV channels until I was like 6 years old. We got no reception from the TV channels, which were closest, which is out of Duluth. So during the summer, you're playing in the boat, swimming in the water, going fishing.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of kids nowadays would benefit from that, too. But, you know, the fishing, it was different back then, too. It was just, wasn't like it is nowadays.
Yeah, a lot less technical. You had to go out and put in hours and had to go into some places where the fish were hiding that you wouldn't really think they'd be there.
Back then, you know, what was different? Was it mostly muskies people were after, or was it just a little everything?
Well, of course, a lot of guys just wanted to catch muskies, and that's the only thing they were cared about. But most people fished for panfish, walleyes, crappies, bass. They were fishing, you know, to have a meal of fish and maybe take a meal home. And being a dark water lake, the Flowage back then was even darker water than it is now, so the fish were up shallow a lot of times, very shallow.
Yeah, you know, you got into the musky thing. And somehow you got hooked on the musky thing kind of early, right?
Yeah, you know, in the spring, I love to fish crappies and walleyes. They're easy to catch. But as soon as the water started warming up and the muskies started hitting, kind of forgot about that bait fish stuff.
Yeah, what got you into guiding? How did you get started guiding and just, you know, how'd that come about?
Well, I used to see some of the local guides, you know, Tony Braylock, Billy Wright, Kenny Ackley, some of the old timers. And they were out with their clients and looked like they were having fun. They got to fish, caught a fish, might get a few bucks for it. And what else was there to do, you know?
Yeah, you heard, I imagine you must have at least one or two funny stories about stuff.
Oh, over the years, John, just so many things that happen that, you know, people just don't believe. But you spend a lot of time in a boat like that, and I think a lot of things come up.
Yeah, I know. Probably should write a book while we're still around, I guess, right?
I'm not sure it'd be G-rated.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you know, as far as guys want to get into musky fishing, what kind of tip can you give them? Number one, as far as getting started musky fishing or to be more successful, especially finding bigger fish.
Well, the thing is, I think, you know, as long as somebody starts out on decent water, it's real tough for a new musky fisherman to go out on some hardcore trophy water like Grindstone, Couderay, Round Lake, you know, your chances of seeing a fish there are pretty tough, even if you're a good fisherman. You should start out on a lake that's a little more of an action lake. You know, we've got several lakes around here where it's not uncommon to put 3-4 fish in a day in the boat. And that's where you should start. Now, those fish aren't going to be as big as some, but then you get into the bigger fish water, like, let's say, the Chippewa Flowage. And you got to learn how to fish that.
I've noticed over the years fishing some of the lakes that have the numbers, you know, you pick a point that really looks good on the map. Say, okay, there's got to be a big fish on there. And you find a smaller fish on there, but yet if you graduate over to the lakes that have the bigger fish, the big fish will be on that spot that the little fish was on that more numbers lake.
That's the thing. But the only thing is on a little fish lake, there might be two or three muskies in that spot, whereas in a big fish lake, there might be a good muskie in that spot, but he's going to be the only one there. You've got to learn, if you're going to fish muskies and be serious about it for big fish, your numbers are going to go way down. If you want to go out there and catch just numbers of fish, you can, it's surprising how many fish you can boat in one day or in the summer.
You just got to put your time in, and it basically, I think it's more of a location thing than it is the what you're throwing at them. You got to be in the right spot, and sometimes being off just a little ways is not allow you to catch much.
That's right. You know, when the muskies are hot, they'll move in on a bait from quite a distance. But most of the time, you got to bring it by them. And like you say, a bucktail's a great bait, but there's other baits too that'll, you know, when those fish are hot, they're going to hit whatever's moving.
You know, when you were hanging around the resort when you were a kid, how many times did you tell people, and I saw this myself running the resort, how many times did you tell people that they wanted to know where to go, and you'd try to put them on the spot only to go out there and find out that they're 100 yards off from where they should be?
Yeah, and 100 yards might as well be a mile. You know, you've got to be right where the fish are. The fish just are not going to travel that far to get your bait unless they're, you know, totally starving. You've got to be able to know what you're fishing. Back then it was tough. We didn't have the electronics.
Yeah, I know. You know, that stuff has all came about in our lifetime, basically. I mean, in our lifetime or our career of guiding is when we've seen the major changes. Our predecessors before us, the Tony Bralicks and Jeff Rosses and those guys, they didn't have all those changes.
God, you look at the stuff that we're using now as far as rods and reels, lines, their boats, electronics. It's a totally different world, John.
Yeah, you know, if you look at from 1950 to 1970, I don't think there was a big change in the boats and stuff that they were using, but the change from 70 to 1990 or 2000, there was a huge change.
Oh, definitely. Things got different real quick. And the equipment we use now, when you go into the Hall of Fame and you look at some of these big fish and they'll have the rod and reel with them, you wonder how they caught these big fish. It looks about just about impossible with the equipment they're using.
You bet. Well, speaking of Hall of Fame, I should congratulate you for getting into the Hall of Fame as one of the legendary guides out there.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. It was a big surprise for me.
Big surprise, and I bet you made you feel pretty good, though, right?
It did, because my kid had a lot to do with it, and my son Mike, and I'm just glad to know he thinks well of me.
You know, that's kind of the thing with a guide out there is I don't think there's a guide out there that's in it because of the money, because we don't make a lot of money. We do it because we're trying to do what we like to do, and we like to teach people.
That's the truth, John. Yeah, you know, I could go get a job in a factory somewhere and probably have health insurance and benefits, which guiding your benefits are, you know, if you don't get struck by lightning, you're fine. But yeah, it's not the money end of it. It's the interaction with the people, and you know, you see a young guy in the boat, father will bring his son along, and a 12-year-old boy will catch a 40-inch muskie. It's something he's never going to forget.
Yeah, you know, and that's something, Dave, that's changed too. I remember when I started guiding, I was trying to teach people, and I actually had some of the older guides tell me that wasn't their job to teach. It was their job to take people out, catch their limited fish, go back, clean the fish, and they didn't know where they were at, so they hired you again next year. And over the years, we've turned into more educators and too.
Yeah, that's the truth. Nowadays, it used to be that people would come up to the resort for a week or two in the summer, and they expected to take back a cooler full of fillets. They wanted to pay for their vacation with fish. Nowadays, it doesn't happen that way. And people come up, and they might have a meal of fish, but they realize that's all they can take. Not everybody can have two, three meals out of the same lake. It really puts a dent in the population of the fish.
You know, we got a whole new generation of guides coming up out there, and I know talking to Al Lindner last year over at St. Croix, he said, you know what, we've done our job. Now it's the young guys to take over, and I think that we've pretty much got a good bunch of guys coming up to conservation ethics. Is, you know, with catch and release and stuff, especially with muskies, is really something that's really taken a hold.
I think that's true, because I see some of these young guys, not just with the muskies, but with the walleyes and even the panfish. The bigger ones that are kind of trophies, they put them back, go for the mid-sized panfish so that they can have a meal of fish. The same thing with walleyes. They get an 8-pound walleye, they're not going to keep it. It's going to go back. When they get, you know, a 2-pound walleye, that's supper.
I'm seeing more guides out there now, too, that actually put a restrictive limit on how many walleyes we're going to take, or panfish particularly. Instead of, you know, the state limit, they have, a smaller limit in the boat.
And I think that's a great idea. Sometimes I understand that the state and the DNR have different ideas, and who's to say who's right, but it just feels right not to take so many fish.
Well, you know, I think musky fishing is growing, and it's going to keep growing. And we got a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of information out there. We got Musky Hunter, we got magazines, we got internet. It's a lot easier for people to learn to find muskies out there and catch fish, and I see a good future for it.
I hope so, because I see the same thing, John. I'm seeing so much information that's out there. Somebody who was a kid years ago trying to get into musky fishing, you know, maybe Field and Stream had an article about musky fishing once a year. That was it. Nowadays, like you say, on the internet with the magazines, Musky Hunter Magazine, these other things, there's more information available out there than you can believe.
We had to learn the hard way.
Maybe it was just harder for us because we were slow about it, you know.
But, you know, there was also less big fish out there, too. I think most fish got whacked in the head when they got to legal size.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's a friend of mine was saying, what'd you do with your first muskie? And the first muskie I caught was about 32 inches. And he said, I know you're big on catch and release, but as a kid, what'd you do? I said, well, before catch and release was invented, the Friday night fish fry was invented. So,
Dave, you know, it's interesting talking to you here, and I hope you get a chance to get out and spend some time out there with some of your old clients this summer.
Me too, John. I can hardly wait. Besides, it's been a long winter. We've had enough of that.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long winter, and you know, hopefully we're going to have a nice summer. Thanks, Dave.
Take care, John. Thanks.
Well, it was really interesting listening to him talk about that. We need to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, I've got a little interview with another younger fishing guide up here, Jeff Evans, talking about walleye fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Desmond Bennett is in there today. And Desmond, you know, there's a bunch of guides out there, and it seems like as I get older, it seems to be more and more young guides coming out of the woodwork. It seems like one that's not necessarily a young guide, he's been around for a while now, is Jeff Evans, who guides, I think he lives up around Iron River, but he guides clear down here to Hayward, clear up on the Lake Superior, got a captain's license, so he skits around quite a bit, and done some TV stuff over the years, everything else.
Wow, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Jeff's a pretty good guy, and let's hear what he had to say about walleye fishing here in northwest Wisconsin, and we'll come back, we'll have some good, interesting information and wrap up on the show. A lot of people think walleye fishing in particular, it is a finesse type deal. It isn't. I mean, you can go after these fish with a more aggressive, more active approach and catch fish quicker.
Absolutely. You know, and one thing I always try to tell people with fishing is nothing is always. And so, yeah, there's a lot of times where slowing down is very helpful, whether it's walleye fishing or bass fishing. But a good method for us, especially early in the spring, is casting a lot of crankbaits and stick baits and working fast. And a lot of times you'll get in to schools of active fish. And then once you find those active fish, then you'll be able to slow down. A great bait is a Arapaho X-ray. trap. I mean, we'll catch a lot of walleyes, a lot of smallmouth, and not even just in the springtime. We'll even use those all the way through the summer months as well.
And one, if you're looking at deeper water too, things like the jig and wrap is a good option.
Yeah, the jig and wrap's really come on here the past several years. It's no longer a secret. I mean, the ice guys knew about it for a long time, but it's a real effective open water tool as well. Like you said, John, especially when those fish move out into that 15 to 25, 30 foot of water.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing I found too is that, I don't know if you've done that with it, but you get in the areas where I get a little more rock, I tend to click the front hook off on the jig and wrap, and I can bounce it right through a lot of rock pretty easy.
Funny that, I forget who did a video on that, but I saw that on a video and I did try it, and absolutely, it does work. It does work well.
Yep. Well, you know, in walleye fishing, we still got some good walleye fishing in northern Wisconsin. A lot of people think that you got to go to Canada and Minnesota to get walleye, but there's some good walleye water in northern Wisconsin.
So, yeah, we do have very good walleye fishing, very good fishing for everything, to be honest with you. It's just you need to understand we have so many different lakes. Not every lake is great every year.
You bet. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time here down at the Rapala booth, and I hope you have a good season. You got a website somebody can get a hold of you?
I do, John. It's www.jeffevansfishing.com.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks, John. Good to see you.
Well, Jeff was interesting on that, and I want to talk about a couple other things too here, though. Small water fishing. You know, everybody wants to head to the big lakes. They want to go to the Chippewa Flowage. They want to go to Grindstone, Couderay, Round. There are so many small lakes and the rivers up here. But unfortunately, you can't get your 18, 19-foot boat in there. You've got to go to a smaller boat. I know you did a lot of fishing and have done quite a bit over the since you started with a kayak.
Absolutely. You know, they're a lot of fun when you get back in those bays, and you sacrifice something in terms of control, especially if you're not in a pedal drive, but you can get back into some interesting areas, and it's a different kind of fishing.
Well, it's a whole different thing too. I've been using a kayak for a few years, and you get out there and it's not the same. It's just like it's your part of your environment. It seems like you're on the water, right close to the water. It's a whole different feeling.
You're all but in the water. It's definitely a lot different than being on a boat.
Yeah, you know, and what kind of tips can you give people as far as picking a kayak and rigging it up for fishing and stuff that you know?
You know, a lot of it depends on your budget, what you're looking for. If you haven't really done a lot of kayak fishing, you might not want to go out and spend $2,500 on a Hobie before you know.
You can spend a lot of money on one.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at the amount of money you can spend on a kayak, especially a fishing kayak. They've got some great beginning of the line kayaks, Pelican, Jackson, they all make some really nice, less expensive angling kayaks. And you can frankly go out and get one of those $150, $200 sit-in kayaks and catch fish out of it just fine. So there's a lot of different ways you can get started. The most important thing, especially in a kayak, is to not only have your life jacket in the boat, but to have it on, because especially if you're new, it's not hard to tip them over.
Well, that's the same whether you're a canoe or any small boat, you're on rivers and stuff. But, you know, we're talking about these kayaks and small boats too, for that matter. You can rig it up with like a Helix 5 depth finder or any kind of a depth finder. You can rig it up with rod holders, anchor deals. There's all kinds of accessories out there.
Yeah, you can do a lot with these different things. I use a really basic anchor just to keep myself in place during the wind. Other people I know have some more complex systems if they're taking their kayaks out on rivers, but there's several groups on Facebook and, of course, YouTube that it's pretty endless what you can do with a kayak.
What works really good, too, is what's called a stakeout pole. I carry a pole in my kayak, and just a small piece of rope, and I just stab that pole into the bottom of the lake. It's a fiberglass rod, and then the rope tied to it, the canoe will stay where I want, or the kayak. And the other thing I'll talk about is stability. If you're a little bit worried about stability, I actually took one kayak here. It was a narrower kayak. I'd set the lightweight one I've got. I just picked up last year, actually, and put a set of canoe stabilizers on it. It's almost impossible to tip it over.
Right. There's a lot, you know, once you figure it out, I've never actually tipped a kayak. Other people tip them every single time they go out. But if that's an issue for you, there are certainly some solutions, all the way from prepackaged things to DIY solutions out there.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week. I want to thank Desmond for coming in here.
Thank you, John.
And, you know, we're going to have the show up on our website. It'll be up there. If you missed the show or you want to listen to it again, you can listen to that show on our website. From our podcast site, just go to WNORadio.net. The show is up on YouTube. It's up on Spotify. It's up on my Facebook. It's up everywhere. So it's not hard to find it if you get out there.
Absolutely. Thank you, folks.
And, folks, we're out of time. We'll see you again next week with another interesting show.
On a long listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.